All right. I'm glad you're doing the show. My voice is going shit.
I'm here to help.
Yay.
I'm a helper. Yay. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol. And this is season 6, episode 5 of Sticky Pickles, Puzzling Reaction and the Flaming Muse. Okay, these are cool. We just jump in, just because it's, you know, February and, you know, we have no time to waste. It's a short month.
I like how pleased you are with your
I know. God. It's been one of those days, you know. Maria, cheer me up. Tell me, what is your sticky whistle? What is your sticky? Oh, my God. Okay, breathe, crawl. Center.
You cannot center. Edit that out. You cannot edit that
center
out.
Center yourself. Okay, take 15. Maria, what is your sticky pickle?
Okay, this is a situation that I have never been in, and I really wish I could be.
Oh.
Part of it anyway. It's a big friend getaway. Like everybody, so everybody pulls their cash and rents a luxury chalet up in the mountains and goes away for a really nice weekend and just hangs out together. So you go out and do activities and you come back to the chalet or the cabin or whatever you want to call it, drink wine until the wee hours, and you wake up and your friends are all there and you're all hungover making breakfast together and it's a good time.
It's amazing. Yeah, I love that stuff too.
Oh, sounds great.
Have you not done it? Have you done it?
I've never really done that now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. I know I will at some point in
You've
my life.
You've got to, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not the season of my life, unfortunately. That's okay. Anyway, so we have friends. We've got a group of about 5 guys, 5 gals. Some of them are couples, some of them are not. They've known each other for ages, all of them. They're a really tight friend group.
I'm picturing Friends, the TV show right now.
Less that. Think less white, less fake New York-y. Think also a little older.
Okay.
And very much less 90s.
Oh, okay. Fine. Boring.
They can wear the flannel if they want. It's all good. We've got Shayla, who is one of the friends in this group. And her boyfriend is also part of the group. And her boyfriend's name is Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this trip that they've been planning to the mountains has been something they've been looking forward to for a long, long time. And unfortunately, right before the trip was scheduled to start, Kevin rolled his ankle real bad, taking a bad step off the curb.
Fucking Kevin. Why can't he be careful? Jesus.
Fucking Kevin. Yeah. Especially since Shayla's the one who like did all the planning and the booking and stuff. This was like her trip for the friends. And Kevin, unfortunately, is in a cast for his ankle and in one of those like rolly scooter things.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
Yeah. He comes out of the doctor's office and Shayla's like, essentially what you said, fucking Kevin. I mean, I'm sure she was much nicer than that, but, you know, mentally. Well, this is going to put a bit of a damper in our plans for going, you know, snow tubing and maybe whitewater rafting. Like, we're not going to be doing any of that stuff. Maybe not in the same season.
I was going to say. It's like, where are they going, Shangri-La?
Let's pick one or the other, Maria. One or the other. Let's say they're going to be going snow tubing and then cross-country skiing.
Ice skating,
and then maybe a bit of
curling
because they're in Canada, and then
snowshoeing,
and then they're gonna maybe go hunting and then can some meat.
No, yeah.
Put some duck in a can anyway. But I digress. So their plans for the weekend were going to be definitely drinking and debauchery, but also some active fun. And so Kevin being in the cast and the little rolly scootery thing is a problem. So the weekend arrives and they all manage to get up to the cabin. Shayla's driving Kevin up in her little Jeep.
Okay. So he's definitely still coming.
He's still coming.
Right.
And cause Shayla's like, okay, I'm a planner. I can make this work. Now, Kevin won't be able to do everything I planned for sure.
Of course.
He's not even going to be able to, like, stand around and drink with us as we normally would. Like,
he'll have to sit down.
Yeah, he won't be able to join us at the outdoor fire pit because, like, you can't scramble over all the rocks and stuff. But maybe I can find, a little corner to nestle him in since he's, insisting on still coming. So, Shayla, when they get to the cabin, she's looking around. She's like, okay, I think I can make this work. She found this little nook. Well, nook's not really the right word. It's smack dab in the middle of this big open floor cabin area. You've been in a cabin, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. There's like a kitchenette area, and then the rest of it's just like a big open space. Shayla decides to park Kevin on one of the central sofas and puts a little reading lamp by him, mm-hmm. and drags over the coffee table and finds in one of the little gaming nooks one of their jigsaw puzzles. And she's like, listen, Kevin, I know you can't do much of anything while you're here, but it doesn't mean you have to not have fun. So here's a puzzle for you.
Gee, thanks, Shayla.
Yeah. And Kevin's like, what am I, 80 years old? But actually, you know what? This does sound kind of nice. A puzzle with a glass of wine is not the worst thing. And I can still hear the conversations going on and people can drop by and say hi if they want. You know, I'm sort of still involved. Yeah, it's fine. So all the other friends arrive at the chalet. They're all like, mwah, 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 super happy, super happy. And one of their friends, Mimi, walks into the cabin and meet and greeting everybody and super thrilled to be there. And her face immediately falls when she sees Kevin and his bright blue ankle cast and his super medical wheelie scootery thing. She's like, what the fuck happened to Kevin? And Shayla's like, oh, he... Blah, 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 blah. And Mimi's like, ew.
What? Okay.
Yeah. The day goes on. Kevin's still just parked with his glass of wine and his puzzle. Just quietly sitting there, doop-a-doop-a-doo. And meanwhile, everyone's getting drunker and drunker around the cabin and having a nice time, partying, goofing around, finding stuff to play with in the cabin or going outside.
Writing things on his cast.
Well, kind of like, he's sort of like the dog in the... The group pet.
They walk by and ruffle his ears.
A little bit. Yeah, they walk by and they're like, hey, Kevin, how's it going? You're like, oh, I'm good. And then they kind of just keep moving like, nah. And by the time night falls, everyone's pretty blitzed. And Mimi is super annoyed by Kevin.
Okay, what is Mimi's freaking problem? What am I missing here?
So here's the thing. At one point, Mimi's sort of just like slumping over and Shayla's noticing the same thing that you are with Mimi. Like something's up with Mimi. Something is stuck up her craw. And so Shayla's like, hey, Mimi, okay, what's going on? And Mimi goes, listen, it is ruining this party that Kevin's got that fucking reading light on. Like the ambiance is messed up. Like we're trying to have the lights down low so we can have like the glow of the fireplace. And there's Kevin with his bright, like, orthopedic old lady crafting light, reading light in the middle of it all. Like, I can't relax. It doesn't feel like a proper party. And Shayla's like, are you serious? And Mimi's like, yeah, I'm serious. And she, to show that she's so serious, she walks over to where Kevin's sitting and actually turns the light off.
Okay.
And Kevin's like, hey, Mimi, what gives? I can't see my puzzle.
Fucking hell. It is definitely February.
Oh yeah, it's no, I promise.
Okay, yeah. So Mimi, who invited Mimi? What the fuck is
Mimi's part of the friend group. She's part of the friend group. They all know each other.
Is she? And they didn't know this about her?
Well, here's the thing. Kevin turns the light back on, right? And Mimi's like, ugh. Next day passes. Kevin's been alone at the cabin pretty much all day. He's thrilled and everyone comes back from their activities. Evening falls. Same situation. Mimi is just annoyed beyond belief that Kevin exists and has that bright light in the middle of the dark living room.
Mm-hmm.
It gets really weird.
Is it a bit like when you're on a plane and you're trying to sleep and the person next to you has their little light on above
the
their
reading
seat?
Light? Yeah. I guess. I mean, like, I don't know about you, but when I've had a bit to drink, my eyes don't adjust to the dark and light as easily. And I need it to be like either it needs to be bright or it needs to be dark. I don't want it bright with darkness or dark with brightness. It needs to be one or the other.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, well, I'm getting old. So, you know, that's my eyesight. And let's just say they're also in their 40s. I don't know. And maybe they're having the same issue. Who knows?
Yeah. Mimi's a bitch right now,
I'm thinking. Mimi's being a bitch.
Mimi's being a little cow face because Yeah. Give me a break, man. The guy's got a busted leg. He's sitting there. He's not bitching. He's doing his thing. He's playing
and
with a freaking puzzle.
Keeps messing with his puzzle light. And it gets so weird that eventually, like, the mood really changes with everybody. They're like, Mimi, yo, stop messing with his light. You're being really weird about this. Basically, the night passes. It's the next morning. And now everybody's super awkward because Mimi's insisting, well, she was just joking around about the whole light thing. But Kevin's like, well, she kept turning off my light. I couldn't fucking see. And now the whole thing's weird and everything's gone sideways. And, you know, Mimi's all like, well, he shouldn't be in the middle of the room with his bright light on. And, you know, Daniel's back.
Okay. So either Mimi was being a cow and is trying to save face. Or Mimi really doesn't know how to tell a joke and can't judge an audience very well.
What a weird joke, though.
I agree. Like, it's kind of just an annoying joke. I mean, I do know annoying people. I do know people that do that kind of thing.
What's the joke there, though? The light, turn off your lights. Like, dude, like, leave his lights alone. He can't see. His leg's busted. He's half dead. Like, let the man be.
I was in a house, similar situation, okay? So it's like fall, I'm there with a bunch of friends, house, whatever. But this house was freezing, except for the rooms. Inside the rooms, they're like little heaters, right? So people are keeping the doors shut to keep the heat in.
But when
you're like doing like food delivery service or bringing drinks in from one room to the next, it's really hard to not use both hands, right? If you have to undo the door thing.
Yes.
So by the end of the 3 days, there was like a door wars going on. So I,
because door
it was like,
wars.
Open the door, you know? And all
oh
that.
My God.
So I kind of get it from that point of view. Little things can start getting to you because you're all on top of each other, right? There's nowhere to go.
And everyone's got their habits that they like and other habits are different. And I mean, I know that sounds trivial, but like these things add up.
Yeah. I'm not sure what I would do now though. Like, I don't know where my sitch is. Do we kill Mimi? Is that one of my questions?
Yeah, we dump her in the woods. I mean, basically, so imagine that you're Shayla, right? You're Kevin's boyfriend. I'm sorry, Kevin is your boyfriend, and Mimi is one of your many friends. You're all in a friend group. So there's other people around here, too, and it's gotten weird. And, you know, yes, alcohol has entered into the equation, of course, and it has made everything worse, of course. But, like, this has gone on for days. So presumably people have had time to sober up, realize they'd been being a dick and go, oh, maybe I should apologize, and have not apologized.
Right.
And this person is Mimi. Kevin's feelings are hurt, but is he being a bit of a buzzkill?
No.
How dare he be injured? All right. Genuine question.
Yep. I'm listening.
Do you know people who get weird around the injured?
Well, I don't know. It depends how injured, right? Well, like if someone has a big, like knocked up face because they were in a fight and they look kind of gross, it can be weird looking at somebody, right?
Yeah. But like, say someone's got a broken arm or something where you don't have to. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I've never noticed that, but.
But did you know this is a real thing? Some people get really weird around injured people. It doesn't even matter what the injury is.
They become
like repulsed. Yes! They become like repulsed by an injured person.
Oh.
And that's Mimi's excuse, is that injuries scare her because they remind her of mortality. So she can't help but be a dick to him because she's kind of afraid of his injury.
Yeah. Mimi, therapy is that's not going to go down well for life. just that makes life a little bit more bumpy than it probably needs to be. But
that's true.
You know,
and also your friends are like,
you. Yeah,
you're a weirdo, but yeah, therapy. We don't often suggest that in this show.
We should.
But in this case, we should.
That should be our caveat at the beginning.
Everybody get therapy. Fair enough. Mimi, get therapy. Okay. The end. the flaming muse.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving right along.
Okay, we have Jackie and Bonnie. Okay, they are not friends.
Are they enemies? Are they frenemies?
Not lovers. Not enemies. Not married. Nothing like that.
Are they strangers in a strange land?
Well, they know each other. Because they attend the same weekly Ciao Learn Italiano classes.
Oh, is this an adult ed class?
story. Local community
oh,
senator.
Oh, my goodness. So Jackie and Bonnie, they're classmates, if you will.
Yeah, right. And okay. Jackie, she by day is a gym teacher.
Okay.
Like red haired, and she's got this real smirky mouth. So like it's hilarious when she's trying to practice her Italian, her Italiano vocabulario. You can tell I'm a natural. And Bonnie is a working artist. Okay. Bit of a local sensation because she did her last collection was called the Big Weed Collection. And it was close up of local plants that no one wanted in their garden or sidewalks and whatever.
Wait, can you say that again? did I hear you correctly? Could you repeat that, please?
Big Weed Collection.
Okay. I mean, it's legal where I live. So.
Not those kind of weeds. More like dandelions and stuff like that.
Oh, you mean the stuff I eat? Okay,
yes,
good.
The stuff okay. You eat, exactly.
The stuff I eat. The stuff I keep a knife in my car for. When I see a good dandelion on the side of the road,
exactly.
I get my knife out, I grab it. Grab that weed.
Grab that. Yeah, smell it, see if any dog peed on it, and then, yeah.
You know what? It's extra flavor. It's all, I'm kidding. No. That was a joke.
I was moving away from the mic. Okay, are we cracking on?
Da-da. Sorry, you started talking about weeds, and I got into them. I did.
Anywho, okay. After class one day, Bonnie approaches Jackie, and she says, look, I'm an artist. I'm currently working on a bit of figure drawing. And I am crap at it and I need a model. You'd be perfect. I'm sure you can hold poses for like 5 minutes because you're fit as a fiddle. Right. And it'll only be for a couple weeks.
It does require a lot of strength. That's true. Yes,
right.
Yes.
It totally
it does. It does.
I can't imagine. I only know it from like doing yoga and crap like that, you know, when you have to do long holds.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some models. I've done a lot of life drawing classes and there are some models who can hold a really difficult pose for like 20 solid minutes.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
It's insane. And usually these models are actually like professional dancers and this is like some side money that they make and you have to be because it's like insane how they do that.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely incredible. Anyway, sorry. I'm just like all my admiration to live drawing models because it's really hard.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, digression.
Yeah, it's okay. and Bonnie says, you know, I can even pay you if you need some extra cash. I just need to figure out how the body works because it turns out, she says, people are a lot harder to draw than weeds.
Yeah. So when she says, I need to figure out how the body works, is there a, you know.
No, there's no frisson. There's no frisson.
Oh, thank you for deploying that beautiful word.
And okay, so if we go into Jackie's little brain right now, right, or the little hamster in there, she's going, I've never done this.
Do I have to get naked?
Yeah. Do I have to get naked? So that's her first question. She goes, no. But if you don't mind, you can wear like a leotard. I'll provide it.
Would you like my used leotard? Here, I have some dirty underwear that you can wear.
Yeah, we wouldn't put it through the wash for you.
Have my used leotard. Just go. It's like putty colored. You know, it's fine.
Ew. Yeah. With baubles on them all over. Yeah. And a stained crotch.
You definitely want to do this.
Yeah. But she wants to do this, right? Because, I don't know, she's thinking, like, imagine, you know, working with, like, a kind of local artist, like a kind of local celebrity. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you get some cash, which is not bad.
Well, she's thinking, look, she's like, look, I'll do it, but I'm not going to take any cash because I've never done this and I may hate it and I don't want to be tied to it. So I'll help you out for a few weeks. We'll see how we roll. And then if it works out, then yeah, you know, this could be a gig for me. Then I'll totally let you know and then we'll sort it out.
Wow, really? I would say if you didn't want cash payment, at least be like, could I have one of your sketches or something? That feels like the least.
She just it doesn't even occur to her. She's never been in this world before, right? This is never something she's even been asked before.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, she's just thinking, this sounds like kind of fun thing to do, right? I'm going to go try and hold some poses and see how we roll. So she gets there. She gets to the studio. She gets to the set, if you can call it that, right? There's basically a white sheet, a low stool, and Jackie's provided her flesh-colored leotard that's brand new.
Okay, brand new at least.
Yeah, and she's asked to kind of go into these wacky positions, like, you know, she's kneeling and pleading, draping across the stool, whatever, all the stuff.
Good for her. Yeah.
They are a killer. They're a killer because she has told them 5 minutes and she's not used to this. And she's like, at the end, she's shaking like her whole body.
Yeah. Did they at least provide a little space heater for her?
Yeah, gave her a space heater and a coffee at the end.
Nice. Okay. And there's a timer so she can take breaks. It's very important.
Yes. All these things are very important. Nice.
Yes. Very important.
And the whole time, Bonnie is totally kind of going, oh, my God, don't move. That's great. This is awesome. Oh, my God, I think I'm getting somewhere. I can feel my creative juices going. This is great. So it's all kind of positive, positive, win, 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 win. And, you know, they just do a few sessions. They part ways. And it's all great. And then months later, okay. Right? Jackie says, gives her a special invite to the preview of her new art show.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's very nice. And she arrives at the cafe at the point in time, like 10 o'clock, whatever, 10 o'clock at night. And Jackie greets her and leads her upstairs to the exhibition space and thanking her again, saying what a help she was. And the first thing she sees is a poster for the show, and it's called Wicked Reds.
Wicked Reds. Okay.
And yeah. She looks at Bonnie, and Bonnie goes, yeah, come see. And yeah. So she enters the hall, and she sees 7 ginormous canvases of her. But they're kind of her exaggerated, caricature-ish. So her hair's flame red. The eyes are like massive. The lips are like foot-long worms. Nose is upturned. Boobs are droopy. Fingers too long. The whole thing. But it's definitely her. Mm-hmm. And in each one depicts a scene of like sin. So in one, she lies in a bath full of money wearing like more gold chains than, you know, Mr. T.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting.
And one, she's blobbing on a couch, belly out, you know, sipping from a 2-liter Coke bottle. And, you know, one, I won't even describe the last one. Let's just not even go there. And it's just so much. Yeah. It's so much. And Jackie is feeling, well, how would you feel if you were Jackie? Maybe we should start there.
Okay. If I'm Jackie and have no art experience, or aside from literally just sitting down for a pose, with no context having been given and no warning.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would be shocked, maybe a little offended and scared. As a person who understands this world, though, me, Maria, I'd be honored. But I also understand that. I have a different understanding of how this stuff goes. I'm not trying to sound like fancy. It's just like, I know that from the outside how this stuff works and from the inside how this stuff works, it can be almost opposite.
Exactly. I think you've got the nail on the head right there, because that's the issue. If you work in the world, you can understand that these things could happen.
On purpose, I would say. Like, the figure drawing is the foundation, and the artist is going to take it wherever, and it's not about the model anymore. But most people don't know that.
But see, that's the thing. Like, Jackie's looking and seeing her.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
And she's going, what have you done to me? Right? Like, I don't look like that. Why are you making fun of me? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And nobody spoke to her beforehand. Nobody was like, hey, no. Nope.
Nope.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know. So, you know, if we go into Bonnie's head, she didn't really know where she was going with this, to your point, right? She had no idea. She was working on the sketches, working, and she started got this idea of the sins and then worked them into these big, glorious, you know, canvases.
Yeah.
But Jackie feels exposed and horrified and didn't get paid for this, but was offered money. You know, I don't even know if that would make it better for her, actually.
You know what? It might have, though, because then at least maybe her understanding of how this kind of thing can. This is such an interesting one, Kroll.
Thanks.
Because like it's if it becomes one of those things where like if you pay someone for the work they've done, they understand that it's that the transaction is complete. When you don't pay, then the expectations go wide open. Right. So it's sort of like, it reminds me of when people want to hire a friend who knows how to take good photos to do like photography for their wedding or something. And then they're like, you know, can you give me a discount or can I not pay you or can this be the gift to me? And then they get mad at the quality of the photos later. It's like, well, you didn't pay this person. Like, there's no expectation there. The person's going to do the best they can, but it's not like really a job. Or, you know, you get what you pay for, essentially. But same thing with, like, if a person's never done art modeling before and they don't understand how artists use figure drawings as literally just the skeletons upon which work will go in any number of infinite directions, and, like, it's not going to resemble the model anymore. Like, it's just, that's an academic exercise usually. Then, yeah, they'd be like, well, that's, I assume that if you draw me, it's going to be a portrait of me and you've made me look ghastly. Why would you do that? Like, what do you think of me as a person? It, like, yeah.
And I think even though, even understanding the world that it were, you know, the art world a little bit, tiny bit, I still think if you're blindsided by it, and you would be, because an artist doesn't always know what they're going to be doing, and what, or what they think they're going to start doing is not how it's going to end.
Yes. You know what? I think the artist made a big mistake on two fronts here.
Okay.
First, they should have insisted on payment because their model did work for them. That is work, and you got to pay your model always.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, I don't need money, be like, I'm going to take you out for food. I'm going to make sure that you are paid in some manner that's meaningful. And secondly, especially with somebody who's never done modeling before, you should give them the respect of, like, explaining, especially when your pieces are going to be exhibited, explain beforehand, I would say, what you've done, and maybe give them a private preview. Be like, come to my studio sometime before the show.
Because what would happen? What would happen though if they said, oh, I hate it, don't show these?
Well, it's not asking for their opinion, right? It's not like, I need your approval. It's like, hey, so it's not a shock. Here you see, like, at the very least, like, text them a photo being like, I'm going to be putting these on display next week or whatever. It's not like I need your approval to do it. It's just like, you know, let me know, you know.
She is at the pre-show, though. She is there on her own.
Yeah. This is the risk of using somebody who's never modeled before. Like, if you go with a person who knows how art modeling works, they'd be like, they're not even going to show up to do your shit. They're going to be like, yeah, it's fine. Like, you drew me, I don't care.
Yeah.
But if you know, they understand there's no emotions there, but once you introduce emotion, then people start wondering, like, they're not seeing, I'm sitting for somebody as an art model. This is an exercise for them to learn the human body. They're thinking, this person is drawing me. And that's not necessarily how it's going to go. So
yeah,
that was a very academic answer to a sticky pickle. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she just basically wants to go in there with a fucking spray can and spray the faces off all of them.
No, yeah? That's not how it works. Sorry, honey. No, sorry. You can just be like, this art is shit and I hate it, but it's not a reflection on you as a person. It's not. It's the artist's own expression, but, like, you are just the starting point, and in no way is it meant to be a statement on you as a person.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Maria.
You're very welcome. I love this one because I get to think about art stuff. Yay!
That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. Thank you so much for listening.
Appreciate it. You can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter, at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram, and find us at Patreon. Patreon.com/Sticky Pickles. So, yeah. That we're on the internet, and anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Bye, we love you.
love you, bye. Our Patreon's not expensive. It's not. It's worth it. Also, I'm not selling it very well. It's great. We love you. Bye.
There we go.
I'm very good at marketing, Pearl. I don't know if you know that. I'm a professional, even.
It's so hard. I hate it.
I know.
It. Like, it's having a tin cup in your hand.
I hate it.